Morning. Happy New Year to you. Welcome to Ephesus Baptist Church. It's God's house, and He has provided it for us to come and to worship and to praise Him. And I ask you, are you glad you're part of the family of God?
Amen.
Amen. So good to see you this morning. R. Green Lee, a renowned pastor who pastored Bellevue Baptist Church in Memphis, Tennessee, once wrote the following. There never was another who caused all creation to be ransacked in pursuit of words appropriate to convey to human hearts and mind Jesus' glorious preeminence. There never was another who was a human child and also a divine son, who was wounded by Satan and who at the same time crushed Satan, who was appointed the Savior of men, yet was crucified by men, who was judge of men, yet was led as a felon from tribunal to tribunal. There was another who died and was buried and yet lived, who saved others but himself could not save, who had no sin, yet all of sin was on him, who was the King of glory, yet wore no crown but a crown of thorns, who in the glory he had with God before the world was, had the angelic hails of heaven, yet on earth gave himself to the murderous nails of man. There was never another who was the Prince of Life, yet died on Calvary, who was as old as his heavenly Father and ages older than his earthly mother. There never was another who was the victim of a Roman cross and victor at a Jewish grave. There never was another who poured all seas, all lakes, all rivers out of the crystal chalices of eternity, yet on a cross said with a mouth hot like parched desert which cries for rain, I thirst. All of this was written to describe the Lord Jesus Christ. And I want us to look this morning at what our text says about the nature of Jesus. Our text this New Year's Day is found in Philippians, the second chapter, verses 5 through 11. And I invite you to follow along in your Bible as I read Philippians 2, 5 through 11. Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ. This is Paul writing to the church at Philippi. Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus, who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant. Being made in human likeness and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. May God add his blessing to the reading, hearing, and studying of his word. Our text teaches us that Jesus was given a name above every name. And although Jesus' life on earth was but a short 33 years, his earthly ministry can be divided into three stages, and we'll look at those stages of Jesus' life this morning. The first stage of Jesus' life is the manger. Jesus was born in a humble manger to common parents. And we use the word common, and when we do, we mean by human standards. With the birth of a child who normally would be cause for great rejoicing, the joy this birth would bring would be short-lived. Because as we know, this child was born to die. Why was Jesus born to die? It's set forth many times in the scripture, but I think if we look at Paul's first letter to the church at Corinth, it says so plainly in that first chapter, Christ died for our sins. Sin is the aggregation of all evils. S-I-N, these three letters, provided the need for a manger. In the midst of the world's sin, a perfect propitiation is placed therein in the form of a baby called Jesus. And on the night of Jesus' birth, a star shone brightly, yet upon a closer look, we could see the shadow of the cross looming in the darkness. So the second stage of Jesus' life that we look at is that of the cross. Jesus was born with the shadow of the cross upon him, and with the shadow of the cross upon him, his heart, Jesus learned to walk, to talk, and to work. The shadow of the cross was upon the swaddling clothes at the manger in Bethlehem. It was upon the walls of the carpenter shop in Nazareth. It was upon Gethsemane's garden. The shadow of the cross was upon Jesus when the Roman soldiers came with lanterns and torches to arrest the light of the world. Upon Jesus when Judas betrayed him with a kiss. Upon Jesus when Caiaphas condemned him. Upon Jesus when Herod mocked him. The shadow of the cross was upon Jesus when Pilate condemned him. Upon Jesus when the Roman soldiers scourged him. And the shadow of the cross was upon Jesus when the Roman soldiers crucified him. We know that the cross was the cruelest form of death known to man. Its use demonstrated the depths of depravity and inhumanity that man had for his fellow man. Suspended between heaven and earth, the victims of the cross waited helplessly for death. Helplessness was associated with the cross. There was no one to come and to pat your brow or to cool your brow. Finality was associated with the cross. There was only one way to come down from the cross, and that was when those who were crucifying you removed your body to take it to your grave. Horror was associated at the cross. Any attempt that I could make to truly understand the horror of the cross would be futile. The ripping of the skin, the bursting of the arteries, the severing of the nerves would almost bring torment that's beyond our ability to fathom in today's world. The cross was hell on earth. One can almost see the imps of the devil dancing around humanity, poor humanity made in the image of God, which was impaled on a wooden cross. It is a scene that would send shivers through the soul of man. Yet Jesus, God's Son, about whose birth we talked last week, born under the shadow of the cross, it loomed before him as his greatest challenge. And Jesus did not relish the sight of the cross. Remember in the Garden of Gethsemane, he asked the Father to let this cup pass from him if there was any other solution to this issue regarding the sin of man. However, he resigned himself to do the will of God. The scriptures tell us that Jesus endured the cross, despising the shame. We shall never fully understand the awfulness of Jesus' crucifixion. At Calvary, we find the Creator being crucified by the creation. In other words, the sins of Earl Stanley and Connie Stanley and Bill Wright and Wes McAdden caused the death of Jesus Christ along with every other human alive at that time and who has been born since then. It is my very sins and your very sins which caused him to endure such torment. A debt had to be paid, and it was a debt we were unable to remit. So thank God for the cross of Calvary upon which our freedom was purchased, and thank God for Jesus of the cross of Calvary upon whom our judgment was poured. And the third stage of Jesus' life is the crown. Fortunately for us, the cross was not the end of the story. It was only the beginning. And make no mistake, Jesus reigns today. Our text tells us that at the name of Jesus, every name, every knee shall bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess him as Lord to the glory of God the Father. Jesus is a conqueror. He never leads us into defeat. He never makes any compromise, never retreats when dealing with Satan. He is a conqueror in heaven, he is a conqueror on earth, and he is a conqueror in hell. So if you're searching for Jesus this morning, and I hope you are if you haven't found him, I hope you're here on a quest to begin this 2012 new year seeking Jesus. And if you're here looking for him, do not look in the manger. If you're here this morning searching for Jesus, do not look to the cross. The manger's empty. He's no longer on the cross. If you're here searching for Jesus, do not stoop and look into the tomb, because it is and will be forever empty. A memorial to the resurrected Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. If you're searching for Jesus this morning, turn your gaze heavenward. Stephen saw Jesus standing at the right hand of God. Paul heard Jesus' voice like thunder from heaven when he was on the road to Damascus. Isaiah saw Jesus sitting on his throne. David saw Jesus reigning as the Ancient of Days. The psalmist saw Jesus riding on the wings of the wind. John the Revelator saw Jesus as the Lion of Judea, to whom all power and glory and honor and praise is due. Jesus came as a baby in a manger, but now he wears a crown. The cross was once an object of shame. Now it has become a symbol of Jesus' glory. So if you're looking for Jesus this morning, he's here. You don't have to pay a price. You don't have to earn the gift of salvation. It's a gift. It's free. Jesus came. He came to this earth to live among us as a human, to grow up as a child from birth, to suffer the indignity of the death of the cross, only to be resurrected and to live today. So if you would like to have Jesus as your leader in 2012, all you need to do is come forward and say, "Jesus, I am a sinner. Please forgive me. I accept, Lord, your gift of salvation. I want you as my Lord and Savior." As we sing our hymn of invitation, hymn number 300.